On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, I want to talk about the idea that we talk a lot about, this idea of doing crap to people versus doing stuff with people. So, yeah, I think it'll be a fun one. Let's just do it. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Howdy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. And boy, howdy, am I glad that you're here spending time with me talking about something that means a ton to a lot of us. And that's making work suck less. Safety included, however we want to put that, right? Humanizing our approaches. That's a pretty good way to say it. Approaching things a bit differently. Yeah, not sticking with the same old crap when it lets us down, trying it that much harder, and then blaming the folks that we did all that stuff to for it not working out well, instead of going back to the drawing board and going, huh, maybe that stuff just doesn't work all that well. No, no, definitely not. It was definitely the end user's fault. It was definitely their fault. It was their fault. If they would have just done it better, harder, faster, and that's exactly what we need to do. We need to do a stand down, and we need to put up posters that tell people that we're watching and they need to do it better, faster, harder, yeah, care more, all that kind of stuff. Thank you for being here to counter that. Yeah, it means a lot. What I'm telling you is thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for putting a bit of a positive dent in the world, in this universe. And it doesn't feel like we are sometimes. And I feel like that's the reason why I wanted to just kick this shindig off with this idea, is that when you're down in those trenches, it's sometimes hard to see the result or feel the result. And sometimes you feel like you're going backwards, and maybe we do take a step back here or there, but you're doing it. You are. I promise you, you're putting a dent in it. Look around this little world of ours. I'm just going to say people focused on the kind of things that we're focused on. The conversation has completely shifted over the past 10 years. It's completely changed. Is it really where we need to be? No, it's probably never going to be really where we want it to be. You know, that kind of perfect world that maybe we all kind of aspire for it to be. It'll never be there, but you're putting a dent in it. And I, for one, am here to tell you thank you, and keep it up. You're a badass. And I hope you know that. Keep doing good work, doing it for the right reasons, and trying to leave things just a little bit better than how you found it. And I hope to God you're having a whole bunch of fun all along the way, because you should be. Before we jump into today's episode, do me a favor. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com/SP. Yeah, so I did put a little elbow grease into the starting points page over at thehopnerd.com. And I've been hearing a lot from you that I've done a really crappy job of telling people about starting points. Yeah, and I agree with you. Yeah, it's I try my best not to be like advertise, because that kind of sucks, and I don't want to spend all my free time when I'm not hanging out with organizations or sitting on airplanes or doing learning teams or, you know, recording podcasts or doing any of the stuff that's like a ton of fun, like spending time with people talking about hop and working on hop stuff and strategy and you know, the stuff I do. I don't want to spend my few minutes that I have when I'm not doing all that really fun, interesting work writing like advertisements. So that's probably why I feel that void, no matter how small it is sometimes, with like Daryl videos, Safety Man Daryl videos, and like funny stuff and stuff that I hope you enjoy. So I'm maybe not as good as telling people about those things as I should be. So here's me trying to remedy that and telling you about the card decks. We have our original card decks that you can go buy. There's some great bulk discounts. As you can see, you know, you buy one deck, they're kind of expensive. You buy 100, they're way less expensive. You buy 1,000, they're way less expensive. And these things are deployed in organizations around the world, like a ton of companies. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these are out in the field currently. And so a lot of companies that use these, they bring them into their organization. There's not like some big grand rollout you have to do. You don't have to set everybody down and train them and do like a day of like starting points training. Right? You don't have to do all that stuff. And so they're handy dandy, easy to deploy, easy to use, and they work. Like, so for me, that's always like check, 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 ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yeah. Okay. And so a lot of organizations that do this, they buy our original starting point card decks, and they buy them by like a pallet at a time, and they deploy them into their organizations, and they start to see how they work, and they start to see those results pretty much immediately, which is freaking awesome, because that's exactly what they're designed to be: handy dandy, easy, user friendly, and help you instantly start to generate more interesting, operationally curious conversations. We also have the journal books that some organizations like to use or like to pair with that. It's the same questions in journal book form. So you've got some room to capture ideas. You've got some room to reflect and ponder and think, build in a little bit of soak time, you know, into those conversations that you're having. And then we have more than a handful now of organizations that we're working with licensing starting points, which to me is like the coolest option. Like it's the best. It's the best. And I'll explain to you why I think it's the best for a couple reasons. Number one, crap's expensive. Like it's just expensive. It's just the world that we live in. Everything's expensive. You roll that into business stuff, and I'm a small business owner. I totally understand. And I worked in corporate organizations for most of my life. I know budgets. I know it sucks. I know. And business money for some reason is different than like real money. So everything's much more wildly expensive when I have to go do stuff in the name of the Hop Nerd LLC instead of Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, right? It's just how it goes. And so the neat thing about licensing them is that when you license starting points, you get to print them then. So we don't have to go through like the middle person. We don't have to go through, hey, the print house charges this much. This is that. This is what this costs. This is the price of the card deck, right? You have way more control over that spend, which number one, check, ding, ding, ding. Pretty freaking awesome. Right there with that, probably samesies, like at least equal on this list, is that now you have the option to customize the cards. And you've probably seen some of those cards floating around out there. And excuse me, but they are badass. Yeah, because you see starting points decks in your company colors with your company logo, with customized questions. And I spend time working with these organizations a lot of times, helping them to make sure that those questions actually fit in the card decks. So there's a value add there. And what I mean by that is like the last thing you want to do is like take those questions, which are super duper useful, and then throw in a bunch of questions that are like yes or no answers. Like, do you follow the procedures? People are just going to say, yep. Whether I do or not, I'm always going to tell you yes, because I know that you want to hear yes. And these cards are designed kind of to do the opposite, right? And what I mean by that is that these cards are designed really to encourage people to tell you their story, to tell you what they need to tell you rather than to tell you what you think you want to hear. And that's exactly what we're looking for when we're trying to tap in to operational reality, to learn, to improve, to innovate together. And that's kind of some of where our episode will go once we get to the main brunt of it, doing stuff together. Yeah. So there are a few options there. And again, you can learn all about that over at thehopnerd.com/SP. You can also learn more about the services that we provide. You can check out the sweet, sweet, sweet merch store. We just launched some new hats over there over the past couple months. I'm wearing one right now. I'm wearing this really bright blue colored hat. I love it. It's one of those golf rope caps, and it says The Hop Nerd Podcast, and it's all like handwriting, right? It's neat. It's cool. And then underneath it says a podcast not about beer. Yeah, because I get asked that question constantly when I'm wandering through airports around the world. Oh, you must be in the beer industry. how fun is that? And I'm like, what I do is a lot of fun, but I don't know that it's that fun. that seems like a really great time. And last but not least, before we get into the meat and taters of our episode today, if you need a hand with your human and organizational performance journey, let me know. You know the kind of stuff that I do. I spend my days, most of them, a lot of them, with organizations, helping them work on HOP strategy, helping them with HOP fundamentals and HOP learning sessions of varying depths. For everything from, you know, we're looking for that 2 or 3 hour introduction, or, you know, we're looking for that 45 minute keynote, all the way up to we're looking for that couple day workshop where we take a deep dive into HOP, all the conversational stuff. We want to lock you in a room. We want you to tell us about HOP, and we want plenty of time for conversations and plenty of time to learn about learning teams and plenty of time to practice learning teams. And then we want you to hang around for a couple days after that to help us facilitate real learning teams, because we've already got some topics in mind. Can you do that? And in those couple days, coach those couple like really rock star facilitators that we already put through those couple days of training and conversation and all that stuff with you. And yeah, that's kind of the kind of stuff I do. I also spend time with organizations, both pre-event and post-event, working on learning teams. So facilitating learning teams. And that's a blast. Like, I'm going to tell you, that's a hoot. Pre-event, that's a hoot. Post-event, it can be a hoot as long as no one was hurt, right? Those are always never a hoot. Someone was hurt. Duh. Not the greatest of times, but useful, effective. And so I spend time there, and for the like kind of double bang for your buck is that I spend time facilitating those learning teams pre or post event. And then almost always I encourage those organizations that bring me out to do that, bring me that facilitator, like let them co-facilitate with me. It's a great opportunity for you to get learning team coaching and to let them kind of work with me and kind of see my style and my approach. And yeah, it's cool. We all learn a ton and it's a blast. So if you need a hand with any of that stuff like that, or if you want to learn a bit more about that kind of stuff that I do, thehopnerd.com, or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. So I told you about starting points. I told you about that. What else do I need to tell you? Oh, aren't you curious? The Operationally Curious Leader, the little short and sweet book that I wrote for leaders about practicing operational curiosity. Handy dandy little book, nice and short, to help your leaders begin on their journey of operational curiosity, to start asking better questions, to uncover areas where they should probably go out and seek to know more, right? To find out some more operational information. Yeah, check that out. It's available on Amazon and over at the website. So, with all that being said, let's jump into today's episode. Today's beverage is a Trenta cold brew from Starbucks. I had some of my fridge cold brew before we get started, so I'm all caffed up. I'm caffed up and I'm ready to go. Hopefully I don't chug this cold brew through this episode as I tend to. I'm trying to slow down a little bit on that, or it'll turn into an extra caffed up episode. I think there are many things that I can give up in this life. There are many things I can live without. Cold brew coffee. I don't know if it's one of those things that I can actually live without. To the point of today's episode, I really wanted to talk a bit about this concept of doing stuff to people versus doing stuff with people. I was in a meeting not that long ago, and it was in a room full of really, 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 really seasoned, I'm going to say awesome, like awesome. Don't let this story maybe taint your opinion here. Awesome safety practitioners, like, God, I don't know how many hundreds of years of experience were jammed into this room. Like seasoned folks that have been doing this for a long, long time and well respected and great people. And this room got into this conversation around heat stress, which is always something that's pretty high on your mind as a safety practitioner. I spent the last 12 years of my life in safety and in like direct safety roles here in Phoenix, Arizona. It gets hot here. It's real hot here. Heat stress was always at the top of my mind. In this room, they got into this conversation, and I just kind of let the conversation happen, and I kind of scooted back like into the corner of the room just to listen and just see kind of where this went. And the conversation went down this path. They started going down the path of kind of like normal approaches to heat stress stuff, right? And it's like, well, we need to make sure that people do this. Well, how do we do that? We need to go do this to them. And we need to make sure that they do this. Okay, well, how do we do that? We go do it to them. Well, this is a good idea. Yeah, let's go do that to them. Oh, well, what about this? Let's come up with a paper form where they document every time they drink a bottle of water, and they document the color of their urine every time they go to the port-a-john, the port-a-potty. What do you guys call them on your sites? There's all kinds of great wacky names for the port-a-shitter, right? The honey pot. It goes on and on and on and on. And they'll document it, and then they'll turn it into their safety professional for review and training. I don't know that I want to be the person handling that form. That seems a bit unsanitary. When you go out onto those sites, you know, they could put those hand washing stations out there, and there's never enough water in those things. You know that, right? Yeah, and you go to wash them, you're like, oh, no water. Oh, hand sanitizer. Oh, it came out as dust. I've got to do this form now. I don't know that I would want those forms sitting on my desk either, but you get where I'm going with this. Like, the list goes on and on and on and on and on, and I'm just sitting there listening, and the whole time, every single idea ended with, we go do this to them. We go do this to them. So let's talk about going and doing stuff to them. The first problem here that I want to highlight, and there's a long list of problems that we will not get to in this episode, but probably the first thing that I want to highlight is this, is that doesn't work. It doesn't work well, and it doesn't sustainably work. It doesn't work with any element of sustainability. How's that? Not enough coffee. Yeah. I'm going back on my promise. I'm going to chug this. It doesn't work. It doesn't work well. And even if it does work in the short term, it's not going to work in the long term. And I don't know. I think a lot of what I see is it doesn't actually work in the short term. That if you do stuff to people and you put an element of like blame and punishment with that doing stuff to people, like, I'm going to do this to you, whether you like it or not. And if you don't, I'm going to make your life hell, blame, shamed, retrained, or fired. It's not that I even start doing it, right? It's that I then find out ways to not do it, but make it look like I'm doing it. So you think that I'm doing it. And then we like do that smile thing. You like the kind of like twinkle in your eye smile where it's like, are you doing this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this. And they're like, no, you're not. Are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not. But you think I am. That conversation. Yeah. That unspoken conversation. That's kind of where it really, really leads. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a speeding ticket. Yeah, you're going down the road, you get a speeding ticket. It doesn't really stop you from speeding. I ask this question all the time, like, who's got a speeding ticket? Great. Who stopped speeding? None. Okay. Yeah. Blame, shame, pain, punishment, sanction. That works real well, doesn't it, to change behavior? Clearly does. But where I'm going a bit with this is that doing crap to people doesn't work. And in fact, it usually does kind of the opposite of what we hoped that it would do. Like that speeding ticket example. The intent is to stop you from speeding. The intent is to slow you down. The intent is safety. It really is, right? It's safety. It's, you shouldn't be doing 90 in a 65. Yeah, it's probably not going to go wrong. But if it does go wrong, you are going to die and you're probably going to take a bunch of people with you. Like, it could be a really bad day. You shouldn't do that. Here's your ticket. You know, in Arizona, we have a felony speeding. So if you're over 100 miles an hour, you can get like a felony charge for that. That's on the side of the road in handcuffs, going to jail, car going to impound kind of speeding, right? Like, it's bad. But what you see is that people don't stop speeding. You just become hyper aware of where the cops are at, our police officers are at. You become highly aware of where they tend to set. You're constantly scanning, looking for that color, whatever that color is in your neck of the woods. Ours are silver and kind of this subdued gray and black kind of, you know, state patrol, state trooper cars that you see, and the typical black and white police cruisers. You just kind of start looking for it more. Maybe you develop workarounds that are even more sophisticated, like radar detectors. Those are legal in a lot of places, such as Arizona. maybe you do that. Maybe you go even farther in not so legal. You put one of those radar scramblers under your car and on and on and on and on. When we try to do stuff to people, it tends to backfire. And you think about that from just like a person standpoint, a people-y standpoint. I know I think about that in this kind of light. That if you do stuff to me, even if it's with the best of intent, if you try to do stuff to me with even the best of intent, because, and I know this is the because is because you think it's what's best for me. You think you know what's best for me. So you're trying to do crap to me, whether I like it or not. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the exact opposite. Even if I agree with you, even if I'm like, you know, they're right. I actually agree with that. But because they're trying to forcefully do this to me, I'm going to do exactly the opposite just to prove a point to them that you can't do crap to me. You think you can. You think you know what's best for me, but you don't. And you're not going to do crap to me. And I'm going to do just the opposite of what you hoped that I would do just to prove to the point to you that you are acting like an ass. Yeah, that's how that plays out. Think about that in your own shoes. If someone comes along with the best of intent because they think they know what's best for you and they try to do crap to you, what are you going to do? I've got a feeling you're going to have a pretty similar response to what I just did. I'm there. Seemed like the right place to take a sip of our cold brew. So it just doesn't work all that well. Doing stuff to people always backfires. Now, another problem with doing stuff to people, I want to highlight that point on it's what we think is best for them. It's what we think is best. What we believe to be the best. It's kind of like your neighbors trying to make decisions for what happens in your living room, right? Your neighbors don't know anything about your household. They don't know your job and what you do for a living. They don't know your family dynamic. They don't know your schedule. They don't know your workarounds and the crap that you have to deal with constantly, but they have their ideas and they think they know what's best for your household. So they're going to decide what happens in your house, not just theirs, but yours too. Back to the point, it doesn't work. the real point being is that they don't have the right information. Yeah, they don't have the right information. So this trying to do stuff to people because we think it's what's best for them. The point that I'm really highlighting here is that we don't have adequate operational information to be able to make decisions for other people. We just don't, because we do not live in their shoes. We do not walk in their boots every single day. We do not do the things that they do or face the things that they must face every single day to be kick-ass employees and get work done and almost always get that work done successfully. And almost always, typically, our employees exceed expectations. Yeah, we just don't have all of that information. We have our answers. We have our ideas. We have our thoughts and our input and our perspective and our stories and our experiences as leaders, as safety professionals, as people that tend to huddle in rooms together and come up with the things that we should go do to people. Yeah, we have our information. And it's not that our information is invalid. It's not that our information doesn't have value. We have good information. We have valuable information. Heck, sometimes we even have some pretty stinking great ideas. We have good information and ideas. It's just that our ideas, our information, it's incomplete without their information. We've got to bring those two things together, which kind of leads us to this first, I don't want to call it a step because I don't know that there's an order to this, but it brings us to this first point, bullet point, nondescript bullet point. That's why I use bullet points, right? I don't want to put these in order. I don't want to think people up, but I put these in order. So I'm not using a one and a two. I'm using like an emoji. Yeah, there's no order to this. And maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I don't know. You put it in order. But it brings us to this first emoji. that I think we have to go down this path of to start to do stuff with people. Are you looking for a handy dandy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy kind of way to get conversations flowing around operational reality within your organization? These conversations around work is done versus work is imagined, pain points, problems, even best practices, the good stuff, the great stuff. Well, Starting Points is exactly what you're looking for. Starting Points, the original operationally curious card deck, packed full of a ton of learning-focused, operationally curious icebreaker questions to get those conversations flowing, helping your organization to effectively learn, improve, and innovate. Head over to thehopnerd.com/SP to download our free sample deck, to purchase the original card decks and learning journals, or to inquire about licensing options so that you can customize Starting Points with your brand, your logo, and your questions for your specific organization's needs. Again, that's thehopnerd.com/SP. Back to the show. First is we have to seek to understand. Yeah, like we need to actually go understand operational reality. When we're huddled in that room with those decision makers that tend to pull together plans of doing stuff to people, we almost always tend to not have real operational information. We have our idea. Work is imagined, right? Yeah, as we put it mostly. We have our ideas. We have our perspective. We have work as imagined. As I like to put it with a little bit more of an edge on it, we have our operational fantasy, how we think things get done. The rules are always followed. It's always sunshine and rainbows out there. It never rains. It never snows. There are never packs of chihuahuas in the backyard when we have to go back there to work on something. There are never traffic jams. There are never snakes inside of things that we open. Things never go wrong, right? People just follow the rules and they create successful outcomes. You get, kind of that normal, maybe more extreme mindset, but we just don't have the information that we need. So the first step, I did it again. It's not a step. I don't know. We're winging this thing. One of the first things that we need to do is seek to understand. We need to tap into that lived operational reality that exists and can only exist nearest to the work. So whoever you were thinking about before of going and doing stuff to, you shouldn't go do stuff to them. You should go learn from them or really learn with them. And shameless plug of the cards. I'm just going to shamelessly put it out here because I'm bad at telling you about them. Okay. I told you that at the beginning. But stuff like having more operationally curious conversations, that's a great way to do that. Just go ask those learning focused questions, those questions that encourage people to tell you the story of that work, to really let you understand what it really takes. I know you know what you think it takes to get this done. And I know you think that's how this happens. But this is how this actually happens. You're building towards the, oh shit, that's how we do that. You're building towards that moment. That's really what you're working towards. You're uncovering that operational information that you need to then do things with rather than do things to. A great way to do that is by asking better questions. Again, it doesn't have to be all super duper formal. Like, it doesn't have to be, we're sitting down, we're doing a learning team. Those are great. We do a lot of those, but it doesn't have to be that. Not everything calls for, as informal as they are, the formality of scheduling meetings and soak time and all of those things. It can just be dialogue. Dialogue is mission critical, 100% mission critical to what we do. You can do that by just having better questions. You can do that by just asking more learning-focused questions. You can do that by, as we put it throughout our community a lot of times, instead of trying to tell them what to do, ask them what they need. Because we know that if we try to tell people what to do or just do stuff to them, they rebel, they ignore, or they comply, sort of. They give the illusion of compliance a lot of times, or comply to the minimum amount to get you out of their hair to move on with life. That's just the natural instinct when you tell a bunch of highly professional, highly competent, awesome kick-ass folks that here's what you're going to do because I think I know what's best for you. So we have to shift to asking better questions, learning-focused questions, and really asking them what they need. So as we've said, that kind of one, I'm going to get it right this time, one of the first things that we must do with doing stuff with people, to put that into practice, is asking them what they need, asking better questions, and seeking to understand the operational reality that they face. So I think with all of that, I would just put that in like the learn bucket of this path of going down, doing stuff with. This is a mouthful. The path of doing stuff with people rather than to them. Does that sound better? I don't know. But we'll just call that all that kind of mess, the learn bucket, seeking to understand, asking better questions, asking people what they need to be successful instead of telling them what to do. Learn bucket. Now, the next bucket that I think I would guide you towards after you've started to tap into this operational reality and you've opened up that conversation, you've developed this dialogue with those nearest to the work, is to move you towards this bucket of collaboration. Because the last thing I want to do is go out and get a bunch of, you know, operational information and then whew, like Superman, like straight back into the 47th floor of the corporate tower in the shiny conference room that looks like it's from a 1984 law office, you know, wood paneling, chrome and gold and crystal chandelier. I don't want to like go back into that conference room, the executive conference room, the fancy one, the one with the fancy chairs and the one where everyone wears fancy shoes and slacks. I don't want to like rocket ship back to that conference room with all that information and then go come up with what I'm going to go do to people. Like, that doesn't work very well either. People feel kind of robbed at that point. It's like, you come out here, you ask me all these questions, and you encourage me to tell you all this stuff and tell you this story, and then you run off and you do whatever the hell you're going to do in the first place to me again. Like, at least that's what it feels like. Even if you now have all of that operational information and you carry that back, you have the story of normal, everyday, usually successful work. Now you carry that back to that conference room. I'm just picking on the conference room. Don't get mad at me. But you run back to the 1980s conference room and you huddle back together with the decision makers. The people, the buck stops here, people. We come up with the plans. You take that information, you feed a little bit of it into the plan, and then you still go out and do that crap to people. Yeah, of course. Of course they feel robbed. Of course they feel like you fooled them. Because you kind of sort of did. You don't just need the information. You don't just need the story of normal work. You don't just need their input. You need their ideas. You need their ideas for, okay, that's great. How do we do this? That's what you're looking for. Yeah, you're pulling together your information with their information. You're pulling that together and you're coming up with ideas together on where do we go from here? What's the improvement? Like, how do we do this? What's the real and realistic area for improvement and ideas for improvement? Is there any? I don't know. Is this one of those things that it just kind of sucks and we're stuck with it? So this is a compliance thing. You know, the government makes us do it. Everyone sees, even the government sees, that this doesn't have really any value in it, but we've got to do this form. How do we make it super easy then to make that form done and for us to stay in compliance? Right? Even if it's something that we can't just like remedy, how do we make it easier to get this right though? How do we make it easier to be in compliance and not out of compliance with this thing? How do we make that more streamlined, more efficient, easier, more reliable, and on and on and on? Yeah, so you have to bring those folks together and collaborate with them, not just learn from them. And so you're really learning with them and then collaborating with them. What does this look like? So back to our story of our folks in a room. It's really easy. It's really easy for my mind's eye to go to this room with like really dramatic, like evil villain music over it, you know, like smoky room. Executive safety people all huddled together, smoking cigars and wearing monocles and plotting how they're going to make everyone's life miserable. And it wasn't that at all. Again, I think it's important to set the stage here that these are well-meaning, awesome people huddled together, not knowing what to do next. They're like, what do we do? How do we deal with this? Like, I don't want people to fall out in the heat. Like, how do we do this? Back to this room full of really awesome people all planning to just go do crap to people and make them fill out pee forms. Yeah. What color was your urine today? How many bottles of water did you drink prior to this? I had to interject in this conversation at a point, and it sounded something along the lines of like, okay, who thinks they know what to do best here? And like nobody raised their hands. Like, and then the next part of that is like, okay, well, I can tell you who probably knows best. And you might not like the answer because it's not going to solve it today. But they are not in this room. they're on your job sites right now working in the heat. Like, we're enjoying the air conditioning and the complimentary continental breakfast and the big coffee pots. And we're enjoying this air conditioning here. They're out there working in the heat right now. You need to go ask them what you need to do with them about this. They will tell you, which it always baffles me. And I guess not, because I catch myself doing it too, where I think I have like the idea and then I'm like, wait a second, I need to talk to people that actually know how to do this. And then they're like, well, my idea was dumb. that's normal. That's normal for us as humans, right? I like when my ideas are shown to be dumb, because that means that I've discovered, I came across the better idea. Yeah, that should be a win for us. That, not a, oh man, I was dumb and wrong. It should be, yes, I was dumb and wrong, so we had a better idea. To take this story a little bit farther, I shared with them, you know, some of the experiences that we had. We were well into our hop journey. We were trying to figure out the heat stress thing. We were going down a very similar path, right? A bunch of people in fancy shoes huddled around a really, really, really polished conference room table, all figuring out how we were going to stop this from happening again, but don't stop two people. And really, it sounded more like, oh, how are we going to care for these people? How are we going to make sure that they do this? Yeah, it wasn't big, evil, nefarious, nothing like that. And how we had a similar thing happen where we stopped and we're like, no, wait a second. Let's get back to the principles. Let's get back to our core ideas here around hop and how we're doing things differently. This is the last place where we need to come up with this idea. Like this room, this tower, climate control to 68 degrees. We rush inside because it's too warm outside to run into our office. Oh, I've got sweat. I've sweated a bit running into the tower. Oh, it's so hot. We don't deal with it. That's a realization that we came to. It's like, we don't deal with it. Not like they deal with it. Like we deal with it in the jog from the parking structure to the tower. We deal with it when we got on site for an hour. We don't deal with it for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. We don't deal with it in the middle of the night in Phoenix when it is still 104 degrees. We don't deal with it like they deal with it. We don't live it. We need to go spend time with the folks that live it. And that's exactly what we did. And here's some of the things, again, there's no right answers here, but here's some of the things I shared with them that they come up with, while also simultaneously encouraging them, don't just go do what I'm telling you to do, like, because I'm not telling you to do it. The only thing I'm asking that you do is you go learn from the folks on your sites that are living with this stuff, that are next to that, like, radiating hot equipment, on top of it being 100 degrees outside and humid. Go talk to that person. They'll tell you what you need. Here's just some of the ideas that our folks that were living in those positions came up with, and it worked well for them. They come up with this really cool idea about what they call hydration stations, and I've seen these more and more and more now. We'd just never really seen them before, where we had one of our partner contractors that was like near and dear to our hearts. They lived there with us. We brought them in on these kind of like conversations, and we did a couple learning teams around this stuff, and you know, we really deeply explored operational reality and the problems, the pain points, the issues, and come up with some really cool ideas. And they come up, the first thing they come up with were these hydration stations. So this prime contractor, they partnered with us. They were part of the learning teams. And they said, we can build this. And they built these hydration stations where they welded together these movable structures, right? These nice structures. And these structures were small. They would fit in, you know how cramped our industrial worlds are. They fit in our little cramped built-in 1802 industrial world. And they put on nice little places where you could purchase points where you could catch it with a fork truck and move it around super easy. And they built in, like, just think like box, right? Just frame, just metal frame, box, with a bit of a pitch on the roof. And we ordered in, like, these military surplus, like, super-duper never-wear-out tarps so we could replace them when eventually the Phoenix sun would cook them. And we put these things where our people told us to put them. So not only did they come up with the idea, but they said, here's where we think we should put them to begin with. Back to kind of the being able to move them around, they could then move them. It became kind of like part of their, we never told them what to do here. They just figured it out. Like, if I'm working over there on that side of the plant, this hydration station thing doesn't need to be all the way over here. I don't know, during our planning of this, let's just move it over there with us. And so part of this thing is we bought these big, fancy, like last forever kind of coolers. We built custom built-in stands with them. The coolers would plop down in there every day, multiple times a day. Our contractors would come around. It was just became part of their like maintenance operations kind of duties that they helped us with, they would go around and fill these things up with ice and water. And they worked, so they had benches and the cooler with ice and all of that stuff. So it was kind of the in-between. What they told us that they needed, I guess to kind of pull this rambling mess of hydration stations into something, what they told us that they needed is, like, we get ample breaks and we can go and take a break anytime that we want. Like, and duh, like, of course, like, we're great with that. You guys support us in that. If I say I'm a little too warm, I'm good. I know that I go take that break long before I get to the point of saying that I'm a little too warm. But sometimes I don't need to go sit in the trailer in the air conditioning. All I need is a place to, like, sit down, get in the shade for a second, chill for a minute, drink a couple bottles of water. And that doesn't exist. So they made it exist. How cool is that, right? Think about how simple, sexy. That is a sexy idea for improvement. And it was theirs. Movable, usable, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, and exactly what I needy. they worked well. Then they kind of got into some of these ideas of, like, you guys give us all this stuff, like, we like those freezer pop, those hydration freezer pops, but I've been using this. I work outside at home a lot, and then I go to the gym, and I've been trying this stuff. And this is not again, I don't care, a lot of companies use all kinds of different powdered electrolyte beverages, but they started, they introduced us to these things called Element. Yeah, and they are a punch in the face of sodium and other things, obviously, but they built in a nice little dispenser on these things for those elements. So we're like, we'll order all the pallets of them you want. And then they said, well, what about some other things? Can we get out into maybe, you know, stuff that's not just bottle of water and electrolytes? Like, there are other ways to do this. It's like, sure. What do you think? Well, what if we took that electrolyte juice stuff and we put it in one of those frozen drink makers? It's like, I'm for it. Get me some prices. Yeah, like, it's cool, right? I mean, they ended up to where we also started bringing in stuff. If you've never heard of Liquid Death, you're living under a rock, but they wanted Liquid Death. They're like, get us that sparkling stuff, because sometimes I'm just tired of drinking water. And I've got a fridge full of energy drinks. We did not ban energy drinks like some companies do. Come on. These people are adults. They're not children. Stop banning crap, please. Forbidden. And they're like, I go grab something like a Diet Coke or a Monster or something, because it's not that I'm not thirsty. It's just I'm tired of water. Can we throw something in there? And we did. We ordered pallets of Liquid Death. We ordered pallets of coconut water. And different things that they said that they needed. Did it cost us a little bit of money to buy Liquid Death and coconut water? Sure. And is it the point of just saying, hey, I'm just going to go? But no, that's not the point. The point is that is what they needed, and it helped them, and they would drink it, and they enjoyed it, and it made their day a little bit better. And the hydration stations made their day a whole bunch easier, even if we didn't go down the path of a frozen concoction maker, and we didn't go down the path of, like, yeah, I'm not ordering Liquid Death. Come on, man. Well, I'll go buy you some, like, you know, basic sparkling water. If we didn't go down the path of, you know, Element, and we're like, no, we're sticking with the cheap, you know, that cheap electrolyte tablet stuff that comes in the first aid. Even if we didn't go down that path, and they would have totally understood if we didn't go down that path, because it costs a ton of cash. But they told us what they needed, and the hydration stations were the main thing. That's how they prioritized this. That was part of that collaboration as well. Like, put it in order. What are the main things that you really, 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 really need? And on and on and on and on and on. All this, again, what they come up with is not the point. I just think they're a bunch of badasses and thought that it was all super cool, so I had to share it with you. The main point being here is that we didn't do crap to them. We went out and we learned with them, and then we collaborated with them, yeah, to come up with some really, really stinking great ideas, which leads me maybe to a bit of the last bucket here that I wanted to share with you on our going down the path of doing stuff with people rather than two people kind of adventure that we've got going on. We've learned. We've started to collaborate. The last one is do. Like, you actually have to follow through. Like, you actually have to do something with that stuff, not to. Now we're to the point of doing stuff with people rather than doing stuff to people. We've got those ideas. Okay, what do we need to do to bring these hydration stations to life? Well, can you call so-and-so over with their contract buddies, they've got like a whole crew of welders. Can we come up with a work order and send it over to them to make 10 of these things? Yep. Let's do that. You take care of reaching out to them. I'll take care of coming up with the work order. Let's make it happen. Well, and what about the coolers? Well, which ones do you think? Well, these work really well. I use these when I'm out hunting and they last for like 2 weeks with ice. So if we set them out here on the site, they're definitely going to at least last a week. We'll change them every day, but they'll last at least a week. Okay. I'll order them. You take care of this. I'll take care of that. You take care of this. You take care of that. Let's come up with a prototype. Have them mock something up for us. Let's go. Something we can actually go set in. Let's have them come up with something. Let's do some micro experiment. Let's make one, and then we can tweak and tune it from there. And we started to actively go down this path of doing stuff with each other that would benefit all of us. I use those hydration stations as much as anybody else. They were bad ass. So you have to do. Now, I also want to throw in here, and this is the rubber meets the road thing, like getting the learning, doing the collaboration, coming up with the ideas, prioritizing those ideas. That's great and all. But if you don't do something with it, again, you fooled me. Thanks. Gee whiz. Thanks. All this effort, and then you didn't do jack shit. Thank you for that. I will not subject myself to this again. And rightfully so. People would not put themselves through that again. Of course, this is a duh part of our conversation. Follow through. Yeah, you got to follow through. You got to help them actually bring this stuff to life. I'm not saying that you've got to go do it, but like the example that I gave, like, okay, our contractor's going to take care of that. You're going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of that. Even if I'm not as intimately involved in it and they're just like, no, we got it. Okay, cool. You've got it. Sure. I still have to go down the path of support and freeing up time and budget and resources. I've still got to get that work order approved. I've still got to help make that happen. Duh. Because if you don't do the duh part, we've got to do this part, then people are going to call you a liar. And I'm not going to say they're right or wrong, but they're probably right. Yeah. At least it feels like that, right? But the point that I really want to put in here, maybe the not so duh part of the duh that is still kind of a duh, is that even if you decide that the action is to do nothing, that doesn't eliminate the need for action. It just means there is a different set of actions that you must take. So instead of the actions, if we go down this path, we're like, we're going to do those shade structure things. We're going to do those hydration station things. Those are badass. I'm not doing liquid death. And I've got really good reason to not do liquid death. It's expensive. Some organizations, they look at that. And we didn't look at it this way because, I don't know, we were badass. No, I mean, maybe. But some organizations would look at liquid death and see something like mango chainsaw as a flavor. And again, I have no affiliation with any of these brands. It's just the stuff that we used. I like it personally. I use it personally. It's a great beverage. But some people would look at that and say, well, I'm not bringing in a can covered in skulls with a name like liquid death. And then the flavor is called mango chainsaw or, you know, whatever it is, like berry masker cut off someone's head juice. Right? I'm like, I'm not going to do that. For us, we discovered that it really encouraged our folks. They liked it. They're like, this is just cool. My work gets this for me. How cool is this? And I love it. And it works. It's great. But maybe for good reasons, for a multitude of reasons, we decide that that is a bad idea. Yeah, it's just not a good idea. And choosing to not pursue an action because it is a bad idea is probably the right choice. Or if you have really like meaningful reasons, like we can't justify spending, you know, $1 on this or $2.50 on this when I can just buy you regular sparkling water for 15 cents a can. And it's not really different as far as the ingredients go. I think it's different. It definitely tastes different. I think it's the agave and the liquid death. I don't know. Their flavors are just awesome. I like it. But we can't justify it. Well, if I'm sitting there going, okay, we can't justify it. And I go back to my fancy 1980s conference room. I'm like, we can't justify it. They're like, yep, I totally agree. Okay, we won't do that one. We'll do the shade structure. And then I just don't tell anybody that. I choose to take no action. It makes me look like an ass. And I kind of sort of would have been an ass. Yeah. Yeah. Because I left people hanging and I have caused irreparable damage, maybe, to those relationships, to learning, to improvement. It's just going to be bad. Like, I'm not going to be able to get that information again, at least anytime in the near future. And if I want to tap into that type of information, especially with that group of folks or any group of folks that that story has spread to, which would be everybody, that happens really, really, really fast. Our organizations think we're bad at communication. And it's not that our organizations are bad at communications. It's that we're bad at communications. You do something like that, everybody on site is going to know within like the first 14 minutes. Yeah, we're just bad at corporate communications. They communicate just fine. I'm going to have a real hard time pulling something off like this again in the future because they're just not going to trust me. And rightfully so, they maybe should. So again, back to my point there on the not so duh thing that's still a duh thing is just because you take no action, and maybe you take no action for really good reasons and that's the right choice, it doesn't mean that there's not any action. It just means that there's a different set of action. The action means that I owe them an explanation. I have to go make it make sense. And if it makes sense, and it probably does make sense, they're going to be like, okay, cool. Shade structures it is. Can we still do the element thing though? I think that would be sweet. Yeah. Okay. I get it. We can't just buy pallets and pallets and pallets of coconut water. I bring my own from home. That's fine. Like we'll go get some. I get it. Cool. But you can't leave them hanging. You have to follow through. You still have to act. This do part is all about that action with. Right. This is the rubber meets the road, do stuff with people part of this. So learn, collaborate, and do. Now, the last thing that I want to throw in here probably isn't one of those buckets, but it's just maybe some encouraging words around developing feedback loops. Yeah. I mean, that's where we discovered the need. Ooh, that was a weird cold brew sip. Not making kissy noises in the microphone, I promise. But this is where we discovered the need to like make mods. Yeah, like, you know, we did the element stuff and they come in these little boxes and all these little hydration sticks, no matter which one we end up choosing or going with. We got a mixture of them. We're setting them on top of the coolers. We're duct taping them down to the coolers. They're blowing away in the wind. Like, we're only getting to use about half of them because then they're just blowing away. They're blown away. Can we come up with a dispenser for these things? If we didn't have that feedback loop, if we're like, we have solved it, it is out there, the hydration stations are working, they've got it, we're getting them all the stuff they need, we put this stuff in the warehouse where they can get it, we're making sure that we set up this schedule with their contractor to do this stuff. They love it. They're already going around filling up, you know, all the water stuff and doing all these things, you know, are kind of labor contractors. They're already doing this stuff. It's what they do. They love it. It's a great thing for them. The guys see them driving by in the golf cart and they're like, heck yeah, like they're getting like fanfare when they show up to refill the hydration station. It's cool. If we just said, okay, it's cool, and then forgot about it, we didn't let people know or give them a way to feed information back into this really great idea to us about this really great idea to continue to do stuff with, then we would have missed that opportunity. Like we would have been pouring cash into stuff that's just blowing away in the wind, and on. You get where I'm going. The point is that, just again, encouraging words. My intent here isn't to unpack feedback loops, but think about how you build that in to this process, to these ideas. You're going to get more and more and more small tweaks and tunes and adjustments and make it better and better and better and better and more sustainable over time. So there we go. I was going to say a short conversation, not too short of a conversation about like how to actually do stuff with people instead of just doing stuff to people. I guess a bit of a recap, a summary. You ready for the summary? Doing stuff to people never works out very well. It always backfires. If you try to do crap to me with little to no input from me and whether I like it or not, because you think it's what's best for me, I'm going to go down this path of either rebelling, ignoring, or complying, kind of, or giving the illusion of compliance. And if you're anything like me, I'm probably going to do all three. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what you're telling me to do. So I'm going to rebel because you're acting like an idiot. You don't get to do crap to me. I'm an adult and you're an adult and you don't do stuff to other adults. That's just not how this works. So I'm going to not only ignore your input, even if I agree with it, I'm going to ignore it. I'm not only going to ignore it, I'm going to take it a step further and actually like do the opposite. But while doing the opposite, I'm going to make it appear that I am doing what you requested so you will leave me the heck alone and stop trying to do crap to me. It just doesn't work. So I guess number one, stop trying to do crap to people. Understand that operational reality lives nearest to the work and that we don't have all the information that we need to effectively do this stuff to people anyways. We just don't, right? We have operational fantasy. I get in trouble for saying it that way because we don't have fantasy. And you're right. It's not necessarily fantasy. It's just that we have our information, and our information is valid, and our information is good, but our information is incomplete without their information. So one of those three buckets. Okay, we're just going to land on buckets. I call them bullets. I call them steps. I call them some of the things you should do. We'll call them buckets. One of those buckets, and high up on the list, I guess I'll give it a little bit of priority in here, is to learn. Yeah, to learn. But learn is just part of that equation. The next part of that is then once we really learn with those nearest to the work, we bring our information together, then we have to collaborate. We have to come up with ideas for improvement together. We have to co-create solutions, improvements. We have to really think about that. Like, what does this look like? I've got my information. Okay, here's my information. Here's your information. We've pulled that information together. Ooh, we have a much clearer picture of what this really looks like now. Okay, now what's the next step? Yeah. We're collaborating. Well, let's prioritize those a bit. What are the things that are real and realistic that we can do today, the things that we can do a week from now, the things that we can do a year from now, the things that we can do 5 years from now, if it even goes that far? And then the last bucket that we mentioned was do. Rubber meets the road. This is where we have to actually help bring these ideas to life. Sometimes that looks like rolling up our sleeves and helping. Sometimes that looks like giving people money, resources, time, and getting the hell out of their way and letting them fix the problem, which is a hard thing for later sometimes. That's a hard thing. Here's some money. Here's the time. You got it. Bring those ideas to life. And sometimes that looks like that's a really bad idea. And I mean, it's appreciated, but that's not going to work. And here's why that's not going to work. We've chosen to not take any action. And just because there's no action here doesn't mean there's not action here. It's just a different action. And the action is I've got to make it make sense to you now that you come up with all this great information and ideas of why we're not pursuing that one. I still have a duty to make it make sense. Because if you make it make sense, people are cool. Great. But if you leave them hanging, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. And then we kind of throw in a rambly bonus there at the end about making sure that you build in some ongoing feedback loops into whatever these improvements look like to make sure that you're capturing tweaks and tunes and adjustments and even better ideas that are born from bringing these ideas to life. So there you go. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being here. If you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, get in touch, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or visit the website, thehopnerd.com, to learn more about me and all the kind of stuff that I help organizations with all around the globe as it relates to safety and continuous improvement and human and organizational performance and doing things a bit differently and making work just not suck and learning teams and on and on. I would love to be a part of that journey with you, whether it's a keynote here for your organization or for your professional organization or your event or whatever that looks like, all the way to facilitating learning teams and multi-day workshops and on and on and on. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. And check out Starting Points if you're looking for a handy dandy, easy peasy way to get started with more operationally curious questions. They're the tool. Like they're the original operationally curious card decks. We've got the card decks, journal books, and licensing options for you and your organization. And man, they are handy, dandy, dandy, created with leaders, for leaders and beyond. Like that's where they came from. Like, I get it. I mean, I know there's not a list of questions. I know the check sheets suck, but I need something to give me starting points. Again, thehopnerd.com/SP. And last but not least, you're awesome. You should really keep kicking ass. Keep leaving things a bit better than how you found them. Putting a bit of a positive dent in the universe. A great way to do that is by doing stuff with people rather than to people. The only way we effectively do this stuff is together. Until next time, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help with bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.